Well, good morning, Fairhaven Church. It's good to see you. And I want to welcome our campuses. There's four of our locations around the Dayton area. Northmont, if you're there. Springboro, if you're there, welcome. And Beaver Creek, my people over there. Would you just welcome each other just by applause and welcome those who are joining us online. It's good to see you guys and good to be coming together today around God's word as one church in a variety of locations and tuning in online. Let's dig into God's word together. Like I was just introduced probably by your host or Katie here or online. My name is Levi and I am pumped to bring you this message this morning because I believe it's going to help us find hope for friendships that maybe we haven't had before. Maybe you've struggled to find dependable friends. I know I have. I'll be the first to say, man, sometimes it's like my friends have let me down, but I've had some friends that I think God has given me by looking through his word and seeking out these types of things that we're gonna talk about today to find find friends that are there through thick and thin. And I hope it helps you find hope today. God has designed us and gave us a vehicle to cultivate relationships in and friendships. And so today we're calling this message Cultivating Friendships because we believe that one of the most important things for us, one of the greatest conduits for experiencing God's love and who God is and knowing more about him and growing in him, one of the best conduits for that is a deep friendship that's built around Christ. And so I want to share some things that I'm learning as I look at scripture with you today, and I'm really looking forward to it. You guys ready to dig in? All right, let's do it. So this week, I spent a little bit of time asking some friends of mine and some people that I was meeting this question. What do you look for in a friend? What do you look for in a friend? This is something that I think we've all given a little bit of thought to, like what kind of friends do I wanna have? I remember my mom, hi mom, she's probably watching this service. I remember my mom saying, pick your friends wisely, you know, and she was always telling me to pick good friends. And I had lots of mentors in my life that were telling me things like, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Great wisdom. But I asked a couple people, what do you look for in a friend? And I was talking to people all week, just like, what do you look for? What is it? And I kind of boiled it down to, I got lots and lots of answers, but I boiled it down to five different things that we all kind of look for in friends. The first one is this. We look for commonality. We've got to have some things in common, right? I mean, you don't want to get together and be like, hey, do you like Star Wars? And they go, nope. Do you like pizza? Nope. Like when you get nothing in common with somebody, it's like trying to have a relationship with a dead fish, all right? You're like, what is happening here, all right? Is it me? It must be me. I'm just into the wrong things. I'm into weird things, I guess. So I realized this. I want to search out people that I have commonality with, that I have some things to talk about. This is really easy. It might be like a stage of life. That you're in. I know it's so easy to talk with other dads about our kids. Like, I'm like, how are your kids doing? And they're like, oh, my kids are great. Or I'm like, oh, how are your kids doing? I'm like, oh, I know that tone. What's going on? Let's talk about it. You know, so it's easy to talk to other dads, maybe other parents about your kids. Maybe it's just another stage of life or activity that you're in. You know, pickleball people, I'm going to pick on you a little bit. You guys love to talk about pickleball. And I don't know what a kitchen is. I just redid my kitchen. I don't know how it applies to your game, but it's really exciting. All right, so I have a few things that I know I can talk about all day, all right? Star Wars, worship music, and DIY home projects, all right? If you wanna be my friend because you like those things, we have commonality, all right? We can talk about it all day. But if you wanna know anything about sports, I have no clue who's on your fantasy team. I don't know anything other than Joe Burrow is kinda cool, all right? There's that. So we want to have commonality. What's another thing we look for in friends? We want to have proximity. We want to be with people. You know, I think this is so interesting because we live our lives so separated by our phones, but our deepest desire is really to be with people, right? Like there's this thing that comes between our relationships when somebody does, you know, this, I hit it so I couldn't get it out, but you know, I got to check this real quick. You know, it becomes a distance maker, But one of our deepest desires is to just be with people. I mean, we just wanna be present. We just wanna have somebody look into our eyes and tell us what they're really thinking. And we find this out through like how close we get with roommates, right? Like I talked to so many people who are like, oh, my best friend was my roommate in college. My best friend is the person that I went to and when we had all these classes together in high school, or somebody that I went on a missions trip with. Like we had this experience together where we just were close and we went through something together. We want to be close to someone, and proximity is what we look for. A lot of times we also look for this. Isn't this true? We want to find acceptance in our friends. We want to be accepted for who we are. Like I just want to be me. Like if I have to like put on a collared shirt every time we talk, I don't think we're friends. I think I work for you, right? Like I want to be able to show up in my sweatpants and just be like, man, I might have brushed my teeth this morning. I don't know. And they're just like, it's cool. Come on in, right? We want those type of friends that we can just be ourselves. We want to be accepted. A lot of people are saying it this way. I don't want my friends to judge me. I don't want to walk into that judgment zone. And I get that. But I also want to challenge that just a little bit. Because the Bible doesn't say we shouldn't judge. It says we should judge rightly. All right? And there's so much that I could unpack that, but just look at it for yourself. Read scripture, seek it out. Because a lot of times we want acceptance, but you can't have true acceptance without accountability. Just think about that a little bit, because this is a truth that comes out of Proverbs 27, verse 6. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but profuse are the kisses of an enemy. When there are people who are always telling you what you want to hear, they're always telling you what you want to hear. They're not your friend. You need friends that will tell you, you got something in your teeth, bro. And I hate the fact that I was just with somebody for 3 hours and I ate a salad with them and then we hung out and I went home and looked in the mirror and there's spinach right there, you know? Are they my friend or not? I don't know. But faithful are the wounds of a friend. Somebody who wants your best will not just accept you for who you are, but they will hold you accountable to the standard that you set for yourself. They want to make you a better person. And just this last thing about accountability, I think I've gotten accountability so wrong in my life. And I don't know if this was a church thing or just a me thing or how we set this up, but I want you to know, like, in your small group, like I showed up to high school in my high school small group scared every week because I was gonna tell them how I messed up all week. And whenever we're doing this kind of accountability stuff, it's important to say, hey, I'm struggling with these things, but what if we started, or it doesn't stop there. Like it might start there, but it doesn't stop there. Like we believe that as long as I'm not sinning, I'm fine. But here's the truth. We need to go much further than that. Like when we're talking to God, it's not just go and talking to our friends about our relationship with God. It's not just go back to our biggest sin issue. It's going to, am I more loving? Like, do you see, we're gonna talk about some principles as we find them in scripture about friendship. Do you see me becoming more gentle and more humble, more patient? Do you see me becoming more kind? Like that's the kind of accountability God calls us to. Not just don't sin, but become love. That's what true accountability is all about. Are you becoming who you want to become? Your friends should make you more of who you want to become. So we look for acceptance and accountability. What else do we look for in friends? We look for fun. One of my favorite people in the whole world told me this. She just like stopped the whole conversation. She's like, we gotta have fun. And I was like, you're so right. Like I want to just have fun with my friends sometimes. Like if it's always serious, like it's fine to be serious, but let's have fun together. This is a great like little marker that I thought of this week. Like are they your friend or not? Who were you with the last time you laughed so hard you almost peed your pants? they're your friend, okay? They're your friend, all right? But we want these, we want friends that we enjoy being around. And then there's this, what do we look for? This was the, by far the like largest option that people were saying, dependability. I wanna know that my friend is going to be there for me when I need them the most. Like when my life takes a turn that I didn't expect and I need somebody, it's 3 a.m. in the morning and everything just went crazy. Who am I calling? We need a friend for that moment. The Bible talks about this, that there's a kind of friend that goes, that's closer than a brother. I want that kind of friend, somebody I can depend on through thick and thin when it counts. My life just got really serious. I need you to answer. There's a friend. There's a friend there. We need to find those type of friends, right? So we have these things that we're looking for in our friends, but what does scripture tell us about friendship? I'm gonna look at, I want us to look at a scripture today. This scripture, if you get your Bibles out, turn there, get your app out. We wanna look at this for yourself. I want you seeing these words as we read them. But this is talking about, and you look at, if you have a heading in your Bible like I do, it says unity in the body of Christ, you know. Christ gave us a vehicle for godly relationships in the church. He said, gather together, have everything in common, care for each other. He says, I've given you a purpose for it, and we're gonna discover that today as we look at Ephesians. You might look at this and go, this has nothing to do with friendship, but I would say it has everything to do with friendship. It's gonna teach us how we ought to be, the things we need to cultivate in our friends and in ourselves so that we have godly relationships. But before we jump in, can I just pray that God would guide us through his word? Would you bow with me? Father in heaven, you're awesome and powerful. You can transform relationships. You can transform hearts. You have a wisdom that we need. Lord, it's not my wisdom or any of our wisdom. Lord, we're seeking you. So Lord, I pray, would you open our eyes to see and give us ears to hear from your word today, that you would help us to apply these things to our lives, realizing that you're the source of our information, the source of our hope, source of our truth. Lord, I pray that you would guide our minds and our hearts to you today. Help us to love each other. It's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's read Ephesians 4, 1-7. It says, I therefore, this is Paul speaking to the church in Ephesus, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of, get this, Christ's gift. Man. God's word is amazing, and it's telling us some things that we need to look for. It's telling us that we need to be unified, but where does it start? It actually gives us that with three things. It gives us three qualities of a godly friend. Three qualities that every person who belongs to Jesus, who says, I'm following him, is gonna elevate in their life and try and work on and cultivate in their heart. It's not an external action yet. It turns into that, but it's something that we have to work on and cultivate in our hearts. And we can actually look at that and learn that we can look for that in other people. If we want to find good friends, we need to look for these qualities. So, qualities of a godly friend. The first one it says in verse 2 is humility. Humility. This is everywhere in scripture. Humility is simply this, to consider others greater. consider others greater. Jesus says, consider everyone greater than yourself, right? Like he just, this is how he lived his life. Jesus was the model of a humble leader. And he was the model of a humble leader. This is why humility is so important, because humility promotes unity. Humility, unlike pride, which does the total opposite, pride always sets the table for division. Pride always sets the table for division. But unity, it's a place where humility has to be. We have to start with humility. You can't have unity without humility. See, I'm convinced of a lot of things. Like, you can be convinced of a lot of stuff. Like I, as far as I know, everything about this is true. And somebody disagrees with me. I'm discovering the best way to share my conviction is from a humble place. Not from a prideful, I got this right place, but from a humble place. Listening first, slow to speak, slow to get angry, right? Scripture talks about that. Not yelling louder, not typing faster, not putting all caps. You know when somebody sends you a text in all caps, you know, they're trying to be more right that way. Speak the truth calmly, clearly, and drenched in love. Like my motivation has to be, I'm not saying this so that I can be right, but because I care about you. That's how God intends us to carry humility into relationships. And it will massively increase the health of our relationships. I mean, it will bring people together when we decide to listen and not just speak louder, but speak the truth calmly, clearly. And the Bible actually talks about seasoned with salt. Like, you know when vegetables don't taste good? This is a life hack for parents. All right, you ready for this? All right, when vegetables don't taste good, just sprinkle some salt on top. You know, my kids end up eating it more when I put butter and salt on things. I don't know. It's amazing. It's probably making it less healthy. That's okay. All right. They ate it. That's the point, all right? So it starts with humility. The next one that it says is this, qualities of a godly friend, gentleness. The Greek here, which I can't read Greek, okay? It's too squiggly, all right? I studied it for a while and it's hard, all right? But I know my lexicon, and it says that this word is also translated throughout scripture as meekness. These words can be in some ways interchangeable, but they help us understand what gentleness is. Because when I hear gentle, or maybe you hear gentle, we don't always think meekness. Because a lot of times we hear gentle and we automatically think weak. But gentleness and meekness is not weak. It's strength under control. And that's what it's talking about. I mean, you can have a strength, great logical arguments, all kinds of like wisdom in, but if you don't have gentleness, your words won't move anyone. Strength under control, the best picture I've ever seen of meekness, other than Jesus, you know, but the example that makes the most sense to me is a horse. I don't know if you've ever ridden a horse. I've ridden one and I was scared to death. It is way higher than it looks on TV, all right? And this thing is powerful. I mean, way more powerful than I ever could be, all right? I could work out and do CrossFit every day. I'm not gonna be a horse, okay? But it's controlled by one little piece of metal in its mouth. There's something to that, something worth meditating on. Think about that a little bit this week. Am I under control? Gentleness is not weak, it's strength under control. The third thing this passage tells us in verse 2 is that we should have patience with each other. This is one that they call long suffering. Like it includes suffering. If you are married, you understand what patience is, whether you're a man or a woman, all right? You just understand patience in a different way. If you have kids, you learn about patience. If you have a roommate that's new and you're like, why did you put the milk there? It does not go there, you know? Patience we learn in relationships. Patience we learn when disagreements come up, because you have to learn patience by dealing with disagreements peacefully and with honor for the other person. I mean, that's what we need to remember, is that you can't practice patience unless there's something to be patient about. That means there's going to be a disagreement, which means we need to approach that disagreement with honor, seeking peace. Patience is the spirit which never gives up, for it endures even in times of adversity. It is the self-restraint which does not hastily retaliate a wrong. This is the kind of person that never counts you out and never strikes back. That's who we're supposed to be. And that's who God calls us to be. He calls us to be these three things: humble, gentle, and patient. When we start to see our relationships as these are the things we can cultivate in ourselves, it doesn't end up having to be like, okay, I met the right person because we were just at the same place at the same time, or we had enough things in common. When we start to look for friends who are humble, gentle, and patient, it changes the way we view friendship. It's not just, do you like Star Wars and worship music and DIY projects? It's, are you humble? Are you gentle? Strength under control? And are you patient? Here's the truth. If you want great friendships, cultivate these qualities. Cultivate these qualities to become a good friend. Do that in your life. Build humility in your life. I mean, just I need to become more humble. God, help me become more humble. Ask people, hey, do you think I'm a humble person? What would it be like to be a humble person? Just cultivate those things in your life. Am I gentle? Am I becoming more patient? When I get to a disagreement, does my blood pressure rise? And do I say a prayer to ask God to help me with that? Or do I just go? Cultivate these qualities and you will become a good friend. And if you want to find good friends, just look for these qualities and you will find a good friend. You will find a good friend regardless of if you have something in common, if you're just around each other. If you find somebody that's humble, gentle, and patient, get their number, call them, take them out to coffee, get to know them more. These are the kinds of qualities we need to start with. What do we look for in others? The people that we let speak into our lives, are they humble? Are they gentle? Are they patient? It doesn't stop with just what we look for. We actually gain from this scripture some knowledge about what godly relationships, what godly friendships actually produce in us. This is it right here, okay? The fruit of godly friendships. That's what we want to know. What's going to happen when I get these kind of friends? Here it is. The first one, loving action. Loving action is what God wants us all to do. He tells us that and communicates that in his word. It brings out, when you are humble, gentle, and patient, those things in your life, you get to know somebody, you will want to do something for them that is active and proves your love for them, to prove yourself as a good friend. You're gonna go, oh man, I'm gonna show up for you. Yeah, whenever you need me. You need to borrow my truck? Yeah, it's God's truck. You can take it, right? The fruit of a godly friendship starts with loving action. It says, bearing with one another in love. You go through things with each other. It fulfills the greatest command of Jesus. It says, love your neighbor, right? But it goes far beyond just putting up with someone. You know, it's far beyond putting up with someone. There's no such thing as passive or uninvolved love for those who follow Jesus. We must love actively. So that's what's gonna come from these types of relationships in our lives. You can actually look and see, are my relationships bringing that out in me? Am I becoming more loving? Are my friends becoming more loving because of my presence in their life? Are they more like Jesus? That's what a godly friend does. They make you more like Christ. The second thing it tells us, the fruit of godly friendships is unity and commitment. See, one of the things that I've been thinking about this week is there's no way for us to actually create unity. We're just so different. The thing in the church is that we maintain unity that's given to us by God. Get this. This is really cool. All right. We gotta understand this. So it says that there's one body. But a page before, it tells you where that body comes from. It says it's from Christ's gift. The whole passage ends with, but grace was given to each one according to the measure of Christ's gift. What is Christ's gift? Here it is. Chapter 2, if you want to just flip a page back, it says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work within the sons of disobedience. You were a son of disobedience. It goes on to say you were a child of wrath. Verse 4, Ephesians 2:4, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. You have been made alive. And unity starts with understanding that the gift of God unites us in something that we have to maintain, not create. Like, we should be looking at each other every day just going, we were dead and now we're alive. That is the gift of God, the gift of Jesus, what he does on the cross. It says, he raised us up and seated us with him in the heavenly places. We're not unified because we just get along. We're unified because we didn't get along and Christ died so that we could. So start with remembering you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but now you're made alive with God. Christians are not to make unity, but to keep or guard what God made in creating the one new man by dying for our sins and making us new. All people will know that we are following Jesus because of unity, because of our love for each other. It says that in John 13:35. Check that out this week. See, a deep friendship is one of the greatest conduits for experience to God. If that's true, why do we see Christians always breaking up? I mean, we divide so easily because our starting place is wrong and we love shallowly. I mean, we're dividing all the time. I mean, think about any other faith practice that has like more than two or three like denominations. We got like 400 in our county, all right? We divide over these things and this thing, and Christ wants so much for us to be united. He died for us to be unified together, to be committed to each other through him, through the power of his spirit. And so much of what God has done for us is so that we could be made unified in Christ. And it grieves God to see his children fighting over silly things. Perfect example, the other day I was learning and reading about this. My kids are fighting over one cushion on our couch. We have a couch with eight cushions on it. Eight cushions, but they want the same cushion. They're all the same. I even switched the cushions when they weren't looking, all right? And I just stopped because they're going back and forth. They're like this, they're just. And I'm going, guys, it hurts me to see you fight over something so silly. Remember, we were brought from death to life. Have you ever heard somebody say this? God has a plan for you. we say this and we kind of think like, oh, all my circumstances are just gonna work out in just the right ways and all that stuff. Here's what I think we can learn from this. It says there is a calling that we have to live in. In verse 4, it says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all. Okay, meaning we need to understand our position. God is sovereign. He knows it all. He's working. Okay, he's working through all, says that, all right? Who is over all and through all. Recognize that God is doing the heavy lifting in our lives, okay? He is working through us to accomplish amazing things in this world. It's not me that's doing these good things, it's God that is doing them, and Christ is in all. You know, I'm amazed at this. God is in all. I think we're gonna be so amazed in eternity when we walk with Jesus and he's revealing things about our lives that he's gonna say over and over again, oh yeah, I was right there. We're gonna be amazed at how intricately involved he has been in our lives, how he was bringing people into our lives at just the right time. He was speaking to us in ways that maybe we weren't even listening, but he was working. And I wanna remind you of this because it's so easy to be like, okay, I gotta figure all this out, and we just need to surrender and trust God in some things. We're gonna gain wisdom and understanding as we continue to walk with Jesus, because we don't always see the plan. We don't always see the plan. But we have to trust that God knows the plan, and he gives you a community to live in. He gives you a family to be a part of, a body that works together so that when we face things that we don't understand, we can understand this, that the grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. We need people to remind us of that. When the plan doesn't look like what we thought it was gonna look like, we still have to trust God has a plan, and God gave us a vehicle to understand him. One of the greatest vehicles of understanding and experiencing God is a deep relationship with another person. It goes on to say about how we have roles. Like there's a plan for us. This plan, like he's given you a purpose in his body. It says, and I don't have time to read it a lot, but it's in the passages in your notes, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And it talks about how he's given us all these different things for building up the body, to maintain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Like that's the bar. Not like the holiest person you ever knew, Jesus, right? Blows us all out of the water. So that you may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by every human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love. If you've been confused by things going, what am I supposed to do with this or that or this, or what's the answer here? God has given you a vehicle to understand who he is, not just through his word, but opening his word up with people around you. His church, the body, he's given you a part to play in it. He wants you to speak into others' lives and have your lives transformed by each other. That's why he gives us the church. That's why he gives us this body. And the scripture talks about it's all working together. We all have a part to play, to work together, to build us up in love. Which is surprising because we often act like we're supposed to build each other up in knowledge. We are saying, okay, I just need a better understanding. I need better understanding. I'm better understanding. Like what are we supposed to do with some of these questions we're gonna talk about? We're gonna talk about them next week. We're starting this series called Let's Talk About It. We need to have knowledge in the context, and we need to have the conversation in the context of godly relationships. That's why I wanna talk about this so bad this week, because as we enter into that series, we gotta have a great conversation that's not built on, are you gonna agree with me or not? We need to have the conversation on, do we love together or not? God doesn't say, I put you all together so that you could have better knowledge. He said, I put you together so that the world would know who Jesus is through your love. Amen. So let's love together, guys. I mean, that's what Jesus wants. That's what Paul is communicating is through this letter to the Ephesians, which is to us. It can apply to every single one of us. You have a role to fulfill in the body, to be his child, to love your neighbor, to be steadfast in the faith and grow in your knowledge of him, to be a part of the greatest story of redemption as you embody the hope of Jesus. So let's go back to this list, big list of all the things we talked about today. Here's what we look for. This might not be a complete list, but it's a good list of some things we look for. We often start here, but we're learning we need to start here. Cultivating humility, gentleness, patience. These things will come as these things grow. And once we find these things out, we know that we can measure our relationships by, are they making us more loving and are they bringing us into unity with each other? This is the picture that we get about unity in Christ's body that we need to understand from Ephesians 4. So, what do you look for in a friend? A deep friendship is one of the greatest conduits for experiencing God. I wanna end with this. Text the word small group to 32,000. We tell you to text a lot of things to 32,000, but this one's really important because we're entering into a series next week that's all about these different questions that we've been talking about, and I want us to have a great conversation. But if we're gonna grow in our knowledge, we need to grow in our love more. So let's walk through these conversations in a group. If you're in a small group, let us know that you want to be a part of this by texting the word small group to 32,000 and selecting we're opting in as a small group. We want you guys to opt into this because we want to send you things to help facilitate these conversations so that love will grow among us. One last thing. Maybe today you've been thinking about how I want these relationships, but I don't know if that's the kind of relationship I've ever had. Or is it even possible? If you're thinking, are these relationships even possible? I want to have you start with something maybe a little different. The greatest friend you will ever have if you accept him is Jesus. It says in Ephesians 2, it says, is for grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. I want to remind you that Jesus, we're taking communion in just a few moments, Jesus sacrificed himself to create a way for us to have a relationship with him. And so as we approach the table of communion, I want to invite you, if you've never accepted Jesus as your friend, as your savior, make today the day. You can talk with somebody here, find somebody that's on staff or maybe somebody that's praying after a service or maybe somebody that you came with. Just say, I need to know more about that. Let me pray for us as we seek God. Lord, I pray that you would give us your wisdom, not my wisdom. Give us your spirit. Open our hearts to know the great sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. Lord, would you give us endurance and encouragement to live in harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus. That with one voice we may glorify God and be unified in Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.